Daily Scramble Live with Tyler Russell and Jason Fetty. Today's guest.
We've got a live performance by Young Empires and an interview with Maz Jobrani.
Ladies and gentlemen, Tyler Russell and Jason Fetty.
Yes, yes, yes. Good morning, sir.
Morning. Yeah, there's going to be things. It's going to be good. Craig Finney, the whole steady's coming. It looks like it says here I'm going to sing the police blotter, which I have not prepared, but it'll be good anyway. And then we'll do the only in Laguna Files part of that thing, and all coming up on what we're calling DSL, Daily Scramble Live. Good morning. It's coffee time.
On KX93.5, your Daily Scramble News now.
Within seconds, actor Shane Brawley was swept 100 feet from the sand on Labor Day, caught in a riptide and boxed in by rocks on both sides off Victoria Beach. Despite trying to swim for shore, he was quickly exhausted by the current. When his cries for help could not be heard over the pounding waves and screaming kids, he began to panic. Fortunately, two lifeguards swam out to rescue the underworld star. One of a record 1,746 rescues lifeguards made over the three-day Labor Day weekend. And guards are bracing for another weekend on the run. Rough conditions and rip currents are expected to kick up again this weekend due to swells from Hurricane Linda. But Linda isn't bad news for everyone. Brandy Faber, organizer of Laguna's long-running surf contest, the Brook Street Classic, thinks Linda could send swells at the perfect angle for optimum conditions for the Brooks Reefs, even though it was ultimately called off last weekend with similar conditions. Check the Brook Street Facebook page and the local surf shops, as well as KX93.5, of course, for the latest word about whether the 52nd annual locals-only contest will go off. The peak swell is forecast for Saturday. That's your local news, courtesy of the Laguna Beach Independent Newsroom. Here's some national news. Today, of course, is the 14-year anniversary of the September 11th attacks. And finally, a $26 million visitor complex honoring the victims of Flight United 93 was dedicated and opened to the public yesterday. The United Airlines plane was one of four hijacked by the Al-Qaeda on September 11th, 2001, and the only flight that didn't reach its target. Visitors to the memorial and the museum, which is operated by the National Park Service, will see displays and artifacts commemorating all of the terrorist attacks of September 11th, not just what happened on Flight 93, but the museum focuses on that plane's passengers and their stories and includes portraits of all 40 victims, as well as recordings of cell phone calls to family members as the disaster unfolded. In world news, a French court upheld on Thursday a 2012 ruling in which Monsanto was found guilty of chemical poisoning of a French farmer who says he suffered neurological problems after inhaling the U.S. biotech company's Lasso weed killer. The decision by an appeal court in Lyon, southeast France, confirmed the initial judgment, the first such case heard in a court in France, that ruled Monsanto was responsible for the intoxication and ordered the company to fully compensate grain grower Paul Francois. Monsanto's lawyer said the company would now bring the decision before France's highest appeal court. And finally, in tech news, Microsoft has confirmed that Windows 10 is being downloaded to computers whether or not users have opted in for it. The company says for individuals who have chosen to receive automatic updates through Windows Update, we help upgradable devices get ready for Windows 10 by downloading the files they'll need. The issue is that this is a bit presumptuous on Microsoft's part. Yes, most people will want Windows 10 as quickly as possible, but for those who don't, the automatic download takes up a huge amount of data. Big brother Microsoft is watching. Jason, hello.
Hello.
Would you like to finish the headline now?
Sure.
You're so quiet this morning.
No, I'm obsessing over what you said. You said 9/11, blah, blah, blah. You said the Al-Qaeda. It's redundant. It should just be Al-Qaeda, because Al means the, Qaeda means... Well, I don't know what it means. Idiots.
You know, what's interesting is I took that from the New York Times.
Really?
Yeah.
From Al New York Times.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Let's finish the headline.
Let's.
A doctor prints what to alleviate supply shortage on the Gaza Strip?
Okay, finish the headline.
Say it again, because I can't remember it.
I'm going to say it twice for you today.
Could you, please?
No more than twice.
All right.
A doctor prints blank to alleviate supply shortages on the Gaza Strip. 3D prints. What?
Okay, finish the headline.
Oh, my God. Supply shortage. What can you print on a print? It's got to be a rubber thing, plastic thing.
Okay, yeah.
Rubber?
It's rubber and plastic.
Okay. Could be anything. I want to say condoms. I don't know why I want to say that.
No.
A doctor prints...
A stethoscope.
Oh.
They're 3D printing stethoscopes on the Gaza Strip.
Good.
Which is the first time that anyone's 3D printed a medical solution.
Yeah.
And they only cost $2.50 to make each of them.
Wow.
Which is allowing much more medical attention on the Gaza Strip than ever.
Great.
A Palestinian-Canadian doctor, Dr. Tarek Loubani.
Happy news from Gaza, finally.
3D printing stethoscopes.
Pretty amazing, isn't it?
That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen a 3D printer?
Yeah.
I haven't.
Mm.
What did it make when you saw it?
It made a widget.
What's a widget?
Like a little widget for some part of some machine. It was the actual thing was, the thing it made was boring. It was like a bolt or something. But it was, the machine's amazing. It's amazing.
Technology. It really is phenomenal.
Yeah.
New York just approved a how much dollar minimum wage for fast food workers.
Okay, finish the headline.
Minimum wage, how much?
Yep.
Fast food workers.
New York.
$15 an hour.
Yeah, you got it. Exactly, yeah. Right.
Should be, really.
$15. New York State will gradually raise the minimum wage for fast food workers to $15 an hour. The first time any state has set the minimum that high. Governor Andrew Cuomo says he will work to make the $15 minimum wage apply to all employees everywhere and promise that more and more cities around the country are making.
Even at $15 an hour, you've got to work a lot of hours to afford a one-bedroom apartment for $2,600 a month.
Impossible,
right,
in New York City.
Even, yeah. You know, so it's a thing, but we do have to look after those people. Do you go through fast food places ever?
All the time.
Do you? I went through one last night, but I rarely. No, it's not true. I don't rarely. I do it quite, I often get a breakfast, but I rarely get a burger, you know, like in
sure.
the evening. And I went, so I was late for something last night, and I zipped through a quick Mickey D's. And my heart goes out to the people. They smile. They do exactly what they're supposed to do. They say, thank you, sir, blah, blah, blah. And then you say, thank you, have a nice night. And you drive away thinking, how can you possibly have a nice night?
Some of those people who work at like 4 a.m. at Jack in the Box amaze me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I go to In-N-Out frequently at 1 or 2 a.m.
Do you?
Yeah. There's one in Mission Viejo.
How do you get up at what time?
4:30? No, only on weekends. Only on weekends do I do that. I've never gone on a weekend. I'm asleep by 9:30. But in college, that was what we did.
Yeah.
So in college, we would go to In-N-Out super late, and there was one next to Chapman where I went. So it's now like part of my appetite.
Yeah.
Like if I'm up that late, I now crave it.
Right.
I can't help it if I'm up at 1 a.m. I have
you
to
know
go to
me In-N-Out. And the Jack in the Box breakfast burrito.
I do know.
Any time of day.
I've smelt it many times.
I know you have. But it's a, it provides, sadly, you know, it's not very nutritious to eat that sort of food, but it provides a quick meal for people on the run and with, if you've got little money.
Do you want to hear my In-N-Out order?
Go on.
I get a double spread tomato, grilled onion only, extra chose, chopped chilies, and a fry well.
Wow. And you say it so well.
I say it the way that they, so here's a brief story about this. I used to order a double-double, no lettuce, grilled onions. I said it slowly, and I ordered it how I wanted it. And they would always repeat it back to me in this particular way. They'd say, okay, so you want a double-double, spread tomato, grilled onion only. And I realized that that's the way they speak. So I started speaking at them the way they understand.
Yeah.
And at one time, I ordered, and I was so proud of this. The guy asked me, did you work
here?
And I was like... No, but thank you.
No. Yeah, you're in their world, dude.
I'm in that circle.
Yeah, it's great. That's code.
That's your Daily Scramble news this morning on KX93.5. We are Daily Scramble Live. A lot to do. And coming up most immediately, Young Empires will be here. They've got a show tonight, right?
Yeah, they're Canadians. They're lovely boys. And they're playing at the Echo tonight in LA. It's the second time they've played there.
Cool. That's coming up on Daily Scramble Live, KX93.5.
Daily Scramble Live.
It's KX93.5. Welcome. It's KX93.5's new show, Daily Scramble Live. And I'm Jason Fedde and Tyler Russell's here. But now, in the studio, live, at this crazy time of the morning, is Young Empires. They're a band from Canada, Toronto, Canada. They're playing at the Echo tonight, and they're going to start our whole thing here with their brand new single, The Gates, on KX93.5.
No, I won't lose hope. No, I won't lose sight. But heaven is a place I just can't find. Run from the shadows and run to the light. Running from a past I left behind. Haunted by memory that I just can't set free. Searching for the man I used to be. I've made my sacrifice in the ashes of that night. Heaven is a place that I can't. I can feel it in my bones.
That is the sound of Young Empires right here on KX93.5. Live in the studio, welcome, gentlemen, to our humble abode here in Laguna Beach.
Thank you for having us.
Hey, it's an absolute pleasure. That's the sound of Matthew, the singer, keyboard player, and I suspect the creative driving force. Is that allowed to say that? Can I say that?
Well, you know, we all have a hand in creation, and so I'm not going to take the credit.
Oh, well, it's very magnanimous of you. Also here on bass, Jacob, and Dan and Taylor are in the other room on drums and bass in there. We can't hear you, but you can wave. That's very nice. All right, Young Empire's from Toronto, Canada. So very, there's definitely a civilized aura. Guys got a gig at in LA Friday night.
That's correct. We're playing at the Echo.
Oh, that's cool. That's really cool. Have you played there before?
Yeah, we have once before. Great venue.
Yeah. And how's touring been? Is this like, is this the beginning or the end or the middle of a tour for you?
This is, I guess, the beginning of the tour. We put out the record on September 5th, and we've been kind of flying around the continent and playing some shows in Canada, but spending more time in the U.S. to try to kind of build our exposure down here.
Yeah. Well, you guys are a thoroughly modern band. I'm looking at my sheet here, and there's a whole sort of brand emerged from you, not just music, but am I getting this right? You can stop me if I get this wrong. Web design, videos, remixes, clothing.
Yeah, I mean, I think you just have to be multifaceted now. You know, it's an era where there's more competition than there's ever been. And I think you really need to define your brand identity and, you know, try to have different outlets, because, you know, it's about cross-pollination, even with different industry segments. And it's not just the music heads listening to your tunes. It's, you know, people in art and fashion.
Right. Do you consider yourselves first and foremost a band, though? Is all the other stuff in order for you to be able to make the music that you want to make?
I mean, I guess first and foremost, we are musicians. But, I mean, you have to have the business savvy. You know, you can't rely on management and labels to do it.
The good news, of course, for bands today is that you can manufacture, distribute, and certain market your own music. That's the good news. The bad news is you've got to market, distribute, and create your own music. You really do have to be savvy in that way. Yeah, well, we've been playing your stuff. We've been playing Sunshine off the new album for a couple of months now. And before that, we played White Doves. Do you want to play another song for us?
Sure, yeah. This is a song off the new record. It's the last track on the record. This one's called Uncover Your Eyes.
I'm letting that fade away beautifully so that I can sort of edit me, you know, make a nice edit of it and we can play it again. Matthew, are you writing the lyrics for these songs?
Yeah, oftentimes I write a lot of lyrics. You know, there are times where, you know, producers or other bandmates will step in and, you know, there might be one or two lines that need adjusting. And I'm, you know, I think, you know, as a musician, you have to be open to collaborating and taking other people's advice, because I think, you know, at the end of the day, it just leads to a better song.
But I'm trying to get to the sort of the stuff from the first EP and the stuff we've been playing, like White Doves, for instance. There's a lot of sort of youthful yearning. And it's a song like that. What was the name of that song you just played? I'm sorry.
Uncover Your Eyes.
Uncover Your Eyes. So that sounds like you've had some experience since then. I mean, you say that you're your own worst enemy.
Yeah, I mean, I think this record shows a lot of maturity and maturation. We've grown. It's been, you know, I guess 5 years between the first record and the second record. Yeah. And so, spending time out on the road and trying to pursue this, incredibly competitive business has taken not a toll on our spirit, but it is definitely hardened our souls and spirits. And that changes the way that you write songs. And so, you know, we still play the youthful songs, but, you know, we've gone to battle and, you know, some of us have come back alive. And that's kind of where we're at now.
Well, thanks for coming in. It's a huge setup. It's like an hour and a half setup for bands. You're not the only ones. Come in, set up for an hour and a half, and then play two songs, and then you got to tear it all down again. So we really appreciate you coming into KX93.5. Come again.
It's our pleasure. Thanks for having us.
All right, mate. Thanks very much. Young Empires from Toronto, Canada, playing at the Echo tonight in LA. This has been KX93.5.
Daily Scramble Live. Daily Scramble, Daily Scramble Live.
This summer, listen to KX93.5 to win tickets to awesome local music festivals. Kaboo! Let's open the Only in Laguna file.
Part of our show here on Daily Scramble Live is highlighting our local police blotter, telling you a story or two from it. And also, Jason Fetty writes a song twice a week dedicated to our local innocent criminals.
Can I just say something? If you're sitting on a wheeled thing, a thing with wheels, and you try and move yourself along the ground by pushing onto another thing which has wheels, it doesn't work. It's physics. Physics, that's what that is.
Are you putting on your sunglasses to sing this song?
Yes.
All right, we're not ready for it yet. You just tune up, okay?
Good, because I need to tune up and find my bearings.
All right, so I'm going to tell an Only in Laguna story, then Jason Fetty's going to introduce his and sing a song about it. Early last Sunday evening, a beach patrol officer came across 10 people who were drinking alcohol on Camel Point Beach. One of the 10, later identified as Yvette Cruz, 25 of Anaheim, was considered to be very intoxicated. So intoxicated that when the beach patrol put her on the curb outside the beach and said, "Hang on, we're going to take you to prison now," she tried to jump into incoming traffic over and over again. And the cops had to pull her off PCH and say, "No, please sit here." Then she punched the officer in the stomach and tried to run away. To finally top things off, when she was in the back of the car, she wriggled out of her seatbelt and managed to begin physically altercating the cops.
Good times. Good times.
Yvette Cruz. She's
good
in
times,
jail now.
Yvette. Oh, dear. She's in poor jail. Old Yvette.
Jason Fetty, my favorite moment of the entire show. And I know you work hard on this.
It's only the second one. And it was like midnight. But I'm going to do it and we'll see.
All right. So
Ava says it's good anyway. So my wife says it's good.
Tell us your story and please sing us a song about it.
All right. Well, it was Friday at 2:45 p.m. Brian Zafran, it looks like, S-Z-A-F-R-A-N, Zafran. He's 45 of no fixed address. He was arrested on an outstanding Hollywood bench warrant. Caught my eye, of course, because Hollywood. And the warrant was for being drunk in public with bail set at $1,500. And I've written a lament for Brian. I hope he's listening. He came down to Laguna from his home up in L.A. Like a movie star, came from Hollywood right down to our Broadway. But he had an outstanding warrant, and it wouldn't go away. They arrested him and said he'd $1,500 to pay. Dollars, that is. So let's dig a little deeper, and the story must be told. Brian Safran, 45, he is of no fixed abode. The ticket was for drinking, and for drinking publicly. Makes me wonder, if you're homeless, where's your drinking supposed to be? When you got no home to go to, the world is your ashtray. And the bushes is your bathroom, they need water anyway. If you got no home to go to, the park bench is a bar. At least you won't get no DUI, 'cause you haven't got a car. Free Brian Setzer. Free him. Not Setzer. Seltzer. Brian Seltzer.
Brian Setzer.
That's another guy.
Is from the Stray Cats.
Brian Safran, 45.
That was so good.
Thanks.
So good. And I love how you're like a martyr for the people in these songs. Like, by no means are you criticizing their actions. You're like their bail bondsman.
Think about it. Where are you supposed to drink if you're homeless?
That was a great political message. It was really inspiring. Drinking in public, you're homeless. Where are you supposed to drink? It's brilliant.
Oh, thanks.
The only in Laguna File and Jason sings the police blotter. We do that twice a week on Daily Scramble Live. Seriously, Jason, it's my favorite thing. So good. I know people love that because they've said so.
It's nice. It's fun to do. And
keep
you know
it
what?
Up.
It's a real sort of. It's like painting a wall. You know, you finish it really quick. You step back. You look at it. You go, I've done it. I get a really good feeling from it. So thanks for it. It's good.
Pleased with you. Daily Scramble Live is brought to you by Hand and Stone Massage and Facial Spa, promoting health and wellness in the community at handandstone.com.
Here's the sorbet of the day.
It's your sorbet of the day. If you, like me, wake up flustered and obsessing, here's a quick cerebral sorbet. We call it a cleanser for your mental palate. It's time to wipe the splatter from your grey matter. If you will. If you will.
Every day you've got a new one.
And here it is, people. So just relax. Take a deep breath. Imagine your head is being suspended from something up above your head on a piece of string. Not like...
Can you put your cell phone on vibrate?
Not being...
Can you just put it on vibrate?
Right, sorry. Not lynching. Not, I'm not
distracted
thinking,
my meditation.
You haven't been hung. You're just being... Anyway, just sit comfortably. Uncross your legs. It's very important, apparently, for the chi.
Oh, excuse me.
Yeah. Just how is your chi this morning? Feeling all right?
It's tasty.
Good. Nice bit of chi in the morning. Here we go. If you went to the store and spent way too much money on a chair and a full-length mirror, you need to sit down and have a long, hard look at yourself. And that's your sorbet of the day.
It took me a
that
second.
That was the sorbet of the day.
Daily Scramble Live.
Okay, Jason, shall we finish the headline?
Let's do it. To it.
Making your bed every morning is blank.
Okay, finish the headline.
Really?
That's the headline.
Making your bed every morning is very...
I should say, a new survey shows that making your bed every morning is blank.
Okay, finish the headline.
It's good for you in every possible way.
Quite the opposite, sir.
Oh.
It's bad for you.
Why? How?
Science shows that making your bed is bad for you. Here's why. Basically, there's some mites. There's, in fact, 1.5 million dust mites.
Bed bug things,
Well, not bed bugs, but dust mites.
Yeah.
Who live in your bed.
Okay.
They feed on your dead skin.
And you stir them up. Oh, you stir them up when you do the bed.
Makes me shiver a bit.
Mm.
They're bad because they produce allergens that you inhale while you're sleeping. Not because you stir them up, but because they like a warm environment. So if you make your bed, it covers it up. It makes it a heat trap. So mites live better in that made environment.
So teenagers, you just throw your sheets on the floor in the morning when your mom comes in and says, pick that, you go, no, I'm trying to save myself from childhood asthma. Actually, something you didn't know about me, I had childhood asthma, and they said it was bed bugs.
Really?
Not bed bugs, but mites.
Maybe it's because your mom made your bed.
Maybe it is.
Did she?
That woman.
Did she make you make your bed?
I can't remember. Maybe.
I always make my bed.
I do too.
But I know people who don't, and now they have an excuse, and that's not fair.
I have an excuse.
What's yours?
Now that we start doing the show in the morning, 7 o'clock, we start the show.
But you could also say because dust mites.
Well, no, it's because my wife's still in there. Couldn't just start making the bed,
yeah,
could
just
I?
Just cover her up.
Start making it. Come on, you should be up as well.
Unless you want to infect her with dust mites.
I have a finished headline for you.
Go ahead.
Okay. There's the last surviving blank who worked at Ground Zero after 9/11 just turned 16.
Okay, finish the headline.
I know this.
Do you?
Yeah, I do know this. It's the dog.
Yeah.
I think it's amazing.
Brilliant.
It's such a feel-good story.
Yeah.
16 years old, right?
Yeah, 16 years old. She's been flown. She flew to New York and stayed in a hotel. She doesn't live in a hotel in New York. Doesn't say where she's from. Oh, from Texas. The dog's from Texas. They flew her up to New York yesterday, put him in a hotel, threw a big party, donated $1,000 to the organization, that trained her, and had a stone outside the 9/11 museum dedicated to them. The dog is called Breton. Breton.
Is the dog French?
No, but it's spelt Brittany, but it says here that it's pronounced Breton. No. It's spelt Breton, but it's pronounced Brittany.
Okay.
I don't know what I'm talking about. But anyway, it's a lovely story. And of course, yeah.
That dog would have had to been 2 or 3 years old then, right?
Of course.
15 years ago.
Is it 15 years?
No, it was
14
years ago.
Do you remember it at all, Tyler?
I do very well.
Do you?
Yeah.
Where are we?
Let's talk about that next.
Okay.
Because I want to talk about there's something going on in Laguna today that I want to make people aware of. They can go to an 840 to commemorate. So we'll do some 9/11 news and memories in a few minutes.
We should.
Cool?
It's the right thing to do.
This is Daily Scramble Live on KX93.5.
Daily Scramble Live.
Yes, our new morning show on KX93.5, Daily Scramble Live. I'm Tyler Russell. That's Jason Fetty. Today is the 14th anniversary of the September 11 attacks in 2001. I want to mention that there's a lot of ways, you know, you might personally want to honor this, but today in Laguna, there's a memorial at the Sempre Memento sculpture. That's the one at Monument Point in Heisler Park. It's at 8:40 today. It's a brief memorial from Laguna Beach firefighters and police personnel. That's open to anybody. It's in just about 20 minutes if you're listening in Laguna Beach and Heisler Park is convenient for you. Do swing by that if you can, if that's a way you want to honor the day.
Yeah, it's really quite a moving thing. Went there last year. It's good.
It is.
Yeah.
And then we were watching the news, you know, President Obama and Michelle Obama are in New York right now at Ground Zero at the memorial they're doing. Yeah. We mentioned that a new museum just opened in honor of Flight 93, United 93.
Yeah.
14 years later, we still manage, of course, to remember it in a big way.
Well, it's biggest deal, biggest, you know, first time America had been attacked on its own shore since Pearl Harbor. So big deal that. And a lot of people died, obviously, and it changed the world for us in lots of ways.
So where were you?
I was working. I'll never forget, like most people. I saw the news when I first woke up. Howard Stern alerted me to this news. And I thought he was kidding at first because, you know,
it's Howard Stern. Yeah.
Right. But he was really freaking out, you know, and obviously because he was there. And then I went, my first thought was, oh, my God, that's horrible. This is horrible. And my second thought was, maybe I'll get the day off work.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think a lot of people, if they're honest, felt that way. Or at least, this is really going to mess up my day. Like, I personalized it immediately, you know. Sounds self-centered of me, but I'm just being honest. And then I didn't get the day off work. I went to work for this guy who was he was a tile guy. I was doing construction at the time. And he was a tile guy. And there's something called 100-year tile, which is supposed to last 100 years, the tile. And we were trying to get rid of it. We were ripping it out to put new tile down. And we couldn't get rid of it because it's 100-year tile. So we went to Home Depot and we rented one of those big machines that goes like a jackhammer.
A jackhammer.
Right. And that's what we did. Spent 9/11 ripping up tile with a jackhammer. I got terrible blisters.
And you remember specifically that it was 100-year tile and you rented a jackhammer and you went to Home Depot.
And all of that stuff.
Isn't that fascinating what our memory does?
Totally.
On something that a day that was so important, you remember the most minute details.
Mundane, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
And there was no way out of it. I couldn't blame Al-Qaeda for that day. I mean, I would have had to do it anyway.
Yeah. Well, yeah. How did Howard Stern report that? I'm always curious how a shock radio show takes serious news.
He was furious.
Yeah.
Excuse me, I have to cough. He was furious, and he was yelling, and he couldn't believe it. And then the next plane hit the building, and he was just complete, like all of us, just completely shocked and furious all at once.
Yeah.
Yeah, we all were.
I was a seventh grader.
Yeah, that's young.
14 years ago, I was a seventh grader. And I remember waking up, 6:30, and it was on the news, and my mom pointed it out. And, at 13, 14 years old, I think, is probably how old I was. Mm. I wasn't, I knew it was a big deal, but to me, it was like, well, I got to go to school now. I didn't know how big of a deal it was. And I remember on the way to school, my mom pointed out what the day was, that it was September 11th. 9-1-1, 9-11.
Yeah,
and then it all started clicking
yeah.
with me. Oh, wow, this is clearly something. But, last year we went to the memorial in New York at Ground Zero, the World Trade Center Museum that they just finished a couple years ago. The most moving, heartbreaking, amazing thing I've ever seen.
Huh.
They have the only remaining piece of the building in the new building. So they have the old structure there, which is, broken and shattered, and this huge wall that they've added all these faces and images and writings to. And what's the hardest thing to watch and listen to, like I'd mentioned in the news this morning, is they actually play phone calls from people on the plane calling their loved ones.
Oh,
It's giving me chills to talk about it. It's so hard.
Yeah.
But it's you should do it. Everybody should do this.
Yeah, everybody should have that experience of something like that. I mean, 9/11 is our 9/11, obviously. But around the world, it was a shock for the American people. But, speaking of somebody who's not from here, around the world, everybody's got their 9/11, Everybody's got their the Holocaust Museum in Israel, obviously, mm-hmm. I've been to a million times, and stuff about Ireland in England. From the troubles there from the 20th century. And in a way you can, I don't know how you can really make it positive except to say that it's a shared experience because crazy people have been doing crazy things for a long, long time.
Yeah, if there's any positive to be found, I think that's one glimmer. 8:40 this morning, go over to Heisler Park at the Monument Point and you can join in on the ceremony with Laguna Beach police and firefighters. Anything else on that?
If you want to celebrate, Sunset Serenades is on tonight. Not celebrate, but, pay tribute in a way. Michael Ubaldini's playing at Heisler Park, at the park there, at Rockpile tonight at 5:30. And he's really American and wonderfully, it's kind of a country rock singer and a wonderful guy. And I know that he'll pay tribute too. It'll be great fun. Bring a picnic.
And at 9 a.m., we've got Craig Finn of the Hold Steady on Full Album Fridays. That's my show where I basically talk through an entire album, and it comes out on 9/11, which he did on purpose because the single from the song, New Myers Roof, is about him watching the World Trade Center fall from a roof in Manhattan the day it happened. He just so happened to be there. Fascinating story that he's going to tell us on Full Album Fridays after 9 a.m.
Great.
This is Daily Scramble Live on KX93.5. All right, we are very pleased to welcome to the show now comedian who plays every once in a while at the Irvine Improv here in Orange County, Maz Gibrani, on the phone now. Good morning, Maz.
Good morning. How you doing?
Doing very well. Thanks for joining us. And I know we've talked before about how playing Irvine might as well be playing Jordan or something for you because it's filled with so many Iranians, right?
Yeah, well, not Jordan, because that would be Jordanian.
Well, that would be a different country, Tyler, just FYI.
I'm white, everyone. So
close enough.
Thanks.
Close enough. You were in the region. At least you didn't say it's like playing Ukraine or something.
Right. Do you find a lot of people are completely confused about they've got strong opinions about Iran or the peace deal with Israel or whatever it is, and yet when you really scratch the surface, they've actually got no idea about where they're talking about.
Yeah, well, you know, I think that's one of the things with America is that we're so isolated that a lot of Americans don't know a lot about the rest of the world, but the rest of the world knows so much about us. And as a comedian, I've experienced it. For example, I've done shows all over the place, and like nowadays with the internet, like they know everything. Like you can go to Saudi Arabia and do a joke about Lindsay Lohan. They'd be like, oh, that Lindsay, she's always in the rehab. You know, like they know all about her, you know? Yeah, he's so crazy. Always rehab. Why rehab?
What do they do out there for rehab? Is it much of a rehab culture in Tehran?
Well, I think Iran. You know, I personally haven't been back to Iran in years, but I know that there actually is. I don't know if Anthony Bourdain did a great episode on Iran.
Yeah,
I
love that. Great stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think the thing about Iran that a lot of Americans don't know is that it's you know, there's a lot of young people. They're very modern and hip. And, I mean, there's things you don't know about. Like, Iran, for example, is, like, the number one place for, like, plastic surgery. I mean, it's like, yeah, wow. It's crazy.
That's amazing to me. That is amazing to me.
Yeah. Wow. And then they party, too. Like, I actually never, like, I've never been there. But, like, I guess the idea is, because there's so many restrictions on young people, so like they can't go dating at a restaurant or something. So basically, like they got to get it all done in one night. So I've heard of like parties they would go to where they would just walk around with like trays of ecstasy and they'd be like, let's just go, let's do this. And I was like, wow, that sounds kind of crazy. That sounds like New York in 1980.
Right. Do you think it's one of those things where they sort of, if you trim back the plant, it only grows faster?
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think that there's, that's the thing is like, you know, you got to separate the leadership from the people. I think the leadership is trying to put the kibosh on a lot of stuff, and yet the people are people and they just want to live their lives. So that's kind of what, yeah, you know, like with this whole nuclear deal, some people are for it, some people are against it. I actually think it's a good thing because I think diplomacy is a good thing. And I also feel that it'll give the young people there a chance to experience a little bit. If the economy gets better, it'll be better for the young people there. The thing that I've been talking about is I was shocked that it took so long for Iranians to accept the deal. It's like we Iranians love a good deal. So I'm just
so do the Israelis. I can assure you.
Exactly. I'm wondering if they were trying to like throw extra stuff into the deal, like when they were, you know, John Kerry was ready to sign. They're like, please buy a rug too, buy a rug and the, John Kerry's like, I don't know if we got a deal, but I think we're an escrow on a property.
right. I have sandals. I have sandals and good jewelry. Very good.
Well, Maz, you've played all over the Middle East, though, so you've met a lot of different people from a lot of different countries, including the King of Jordan. Tell us about that. You actually did a set for him.
Yeah, it wasn't just him. That would have been very weird. if he's like, okay, I will introduce, and you go. No, he's actually, King of Jordan is a cool dude. I think he was educated in the in England or something. He's got like a slight British accent, and he's very, very modernized, very hip dude. And as a matter of fact, it's interesting because afterwards, somebody told me, they're like, "Did you know that he was an extra in an episode of Star Trek?" And I was like, "What?" And yeah, you can Google, put King of Jordan Star Trek. There's this, before he was the king, he got a part as an extra. Like you see the scenes about to start, and the King of Jordan's in the background, and he just like walks off at the beginning of the scene. It's pretty funny to see.
It doesn't necessarily mean that you're a sort of Democrat if you're educated in England, though. I mean, Assad was educated in England too. He's a dentist or something, isn't he? Oh, no, an optician.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he's an eye doctor. But that doesn't mean you're a good person. I'm just saying that the King of Jordan is actually kind of a like modernized.
He's a dude, yeah.
And so he. When we did the Access to Evil comedy tour, and it had come out on Comedy Central, a friend of his had given him the DVD, and we were performing in Jordan, and then we got word that the King of Jordan is coming to your show. And I was like, what? I was like getting ready at the hotel, and I look outside, and there's a motorcade coming to my show. I've never had a motorcade come to my show. I'm like, it was the craziest thing. And what was funny was it was during the Bush administration still, and this was 2007, and we had jokes about Bush and some jokes about Ahmadinejad and stuff. And it's funny because when we do the jokes about Bush, I'd look out and he would smile, but he wasn't laughing. But his brother was like falling out of his chair laughing. And then later on, we actually got a chance to talk to him, and he was very nice. And he was like, we're like, why weren't you laughing at the Bush jokes? He's like, well, you know, I can't laugh hard about a joke about another world leader because people are all looking at me. You know, it's like my brother can laugh, but I can't laugh. I got to kind of hold it in a little bit.
Oh, he's so diplomatic. Yeah, for sure. Did he bring his wife with him? Did he bring Queen Noor?
Yes, he did. Yeah, she was there. The whole family was there. And she's amazing. Like, she's a total advocate for different types of human rights and also showing a positive face of Muslims in the world. And, you know, they're very active, and I have a respect for those guys. And she's beautiful too. And so,
yeah, I was going to say she's hot for sure.
Yeah, yeah. There you go. That's another way to put it.
Well, Maz Jobrani performing tonight, tomorrow, and Sunday at the Irvine Improv. You can still grab tickets. In fact, the last show is 14 and over, but the other ones aren't. Maz, is that how it works?
Yeah. So Sunday night we do 14 and older, and ultimately it's pretty much the same show. I just because I'm not you know my material isn't that raunchy anyway. But I always feel like, you know, I was a big fan of comedy when I was 10 years old. So it's like if you have kids that want to come out, they're like 14-ish, they can handle, you know, a few adult themes here and there, bring them out. And it's funny because I always talk about this too. It's interesting because whenever I announce 14 and older, I think that people that have been in America for a long time understand the rating system, so they'll bring their 14-year-olds. But, like, I have a lot of, like, Middle Easterners that are newer to America, and you say 14 and older, and they'll bring their 6-year-olds. And you're like, dude, what part of PG-13 or PG-14 did you understand? I was like, I might cuss. And he's like, don't worry, Maz. I cuss at him all the time.
Yeah. Well, you'll see plenty of that in Irvine, as you know. There's probably a lot of that culture that's going to see you at the Improv. Again, irvine.improv.com. Where else do you want people to find you right now? You've got a Showtime special out. You just had a movie come out this year. A lot of stuff going on.
Yeah, you know, my Showtime special is still airing, so if people have Showtime, they can always DVR it or they can watch it on Showtime anytime. The special is called I'm Not a Terrorist, but I've Played One on TV. And I also have a book with the same name, so if people are into reading, they can pick up the book as well. And it's just me telling my story in a funny way, just my experiences of traveling the world. And I think I try to just tell the immigrant story, you know. I mean, I came to America when I was 6 years old. So I've grown up most of my life here, but I think that a lot of us have a lot in common, you know, just being immigrants and coming to America, trying to blend in and thinking you're blending in until your parents show up at the soccer field to pick you up and they've got like thick Persian accents. And like, it's a car filled with the whole family because that's how immigrants roll. Like it's amazing. My parents, is the craziest thing. To this day, I see it. Like immigrants don't know how to get two of them to go pick up their kid. Like, it's got to be mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, you know, the rooster, brother, sister. Everyone's in the car. It's the craziest thing. I'm telling you. And I think it's because, we come from, you know, this culture where we had to leave because of the revolution. I think that we're afraid that, like, you know, from the time you go from the house to the soccer field to pick up the kid, another revolution might happen. You may have to keep going. It's the craziest thing. So you know, I think a lot of people relate and I hope that they get a chance to read it and enjoy it and see the special and that's it.
Well, I think it's fantastic, man. I love the title of the show of the show. I'm not a terrorist, but I play one on TV. There's so much typecasting that goes on, you know, with everybody. It's not just Iranians; Brits get it as well. And I just think it's just really cool. It breaks down some barriers. And your English is very good, I must say.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Yes, I've been studying. I've been studying for a while now.
Well done.
Yeah.
Hey, Maz, we've got about 2 minutes left, and we'd love to play one of our morning show games with you, if you don't mind. Will you indulge us?
Okay. Let's do it.
So we're an alternative rock radio station, and we call this game Indie Band Or. And today's category is Indie Band Name or Craft Beer. So we're going to give you a name, and you simply have to tell us if it's an indie band or a craft beer.
Okay, that's easy.
Are you ready? Jason, would you like to play along
as
well?
Am I going
to
do this as well?
Yeah, you can play as well.
All right.
Let me click the button. Hang on.
It's time for Indie Band Name or... I don't know.
All right, the first one is Post-Nasal Drip. Is that an indie band name or a craft beer, Maz?
I hope it's an indie band name because I'm not drinking no post nasal drip.
Jason?
Anyway, I was going to say this isn't fair because Maz is a Muslim and therefore obviously never drinks. But let's see, post nasal drip. I reckon it's a beer. That's what these beer guys are like.
Maz is correct. It's an indie band name. Nice job, Maz. You got it right.
Well, way to go. You would have drank the nasal drip. I'm trying to save you here, Jason. Come on.
All right, here's the second one. Is this an indie band name or a craft beer? Seriously Bad Elf.
Oh, that's definitely a craft beer.
Yeah, that's a beer.
You're both correct. It is a craft beer.
Anytime they use the word elf or hobbit or anything like that, it's definitely a beer.
Next one, Virgina. Is
what?
Virgina an indie band name or a craft beer?
Listen, Virgina, as much as I think Virgina could be a very interesting tasting beer, I'm going with the band name, man.
Yeah, me too.
It's a beer, you guys.
Whoa.
Oh, come on.
It's a really weird beer. All right, one more.
Obviously.
Yeah? Obviously, it's a beer.
Yeah. No, you just censored yourself, and I'm doing the same.
Oh, yeah, I'm saying obviously it's a very weird beer. I mean, oh, God, come on.
Yeah.
All right, Jason, this one's for you. Indie band name or craft beer? A Jewish Christmas.
Wow. Jewish Christmas.
Jewish Christmas.
Sounds like an Adam Sandler movie, doesn't it?
It does sound like a Sandler movie, yeah. A Jewish Christmas.
What do you think, Maz?
A Jewish Christmas. I'm going with beer. That's got to be a beer that Jews drink on Christmas.
Yeah, I'll go with that.
It is a beer.
Yeah.
Nice job, nice. You guys. Well yeah. done. That's indie band name or craft beer. I'm going to play the applause sound. Good job. Good job. Good job, everyone. Maz Jovrani, well done. You won the game.
Thank you. The only one I missed was Virginia, and I'm happy I missed that.
That's the first and last time you'll ever say that.
I know.
Irvine.improv.com. That's where you can grab tickets for Maz Jovrani's show. Again, he's tonight, tomorrow, and Sunday at Irvine Improv in Irvine, which they just redid. It's got a beautiful umami burger. It's bigger. It's better. They have VIP options. It's an awesome, awesome venue for comedy. Maz has some great shows this weekend, and thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate you guys having me. And it's September 11th as well, so I want to acknowledge that and remember all that stuff as well. So let's not forget that either, all right?
You're a good man, Maz. It's really lovely to talk to you. We're big fans.
Thanks, guys. You take care.